We read in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. This last Christmas, we've been receiving a lot of Christmas cards. Some of you have given us Christmas cards, and I know that you receive a lot of Christmas cards just as we do. And on one of the cards, it had this verse, and then the big word was peace, that Jesus has come to give us peace. And you have to ask yourself, well, why isn't there peace? Well, this morning, we're going to look into the scriptures to answer that question. Because my understanding is that there was two comings of the Messiah. The first one was Jesus came as a suffering servant, and then he's going to come again a second time as the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to reign for 1,000 years and demonstrate to the world what peace really is all about. But Jesus did come to bring peace, and we're going to look at the particular relationships that Jesus is going to influence us to have peace with this morning. And so the first one that I want to mention to you is that we can have peace with our Heavenly Father because of what Christ has done for us. So I'd like you to take your Bibles and open to Romans, if you do have the scriptures with you this morning. If not, you can follow along as I read. Because this is obviously the most important relationship in the world, and that's your relationship with the Heavenly Father through the Son. And Jesus has come to bring us into that wonderful relationship with the Father, to reconcile us to the Father. I'm going to start with Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to make some comments as I go through this particular chapter because I think it's important for us to understand what's going on here. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It says this, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, means that he's coming to a conclusion here about how we are made right with God. And I hope you understand this morning, it's not what we do, it's what he's done for us. And I think it's important for us to note the verb here, having been justified. It's a passive perfect. What does that mean? It means that God acted on us, and he saves us. He justifies us before our Father. Having been justified by faith. There's a combination here that we understand. It's God who saves us, but we also respond to the message of the gospel. And that's what Paul has been talking about here in the book of Romans. They were not saved by our works. We're not saved by our deeds. We're not saved because of who we are. We're saved because of who Christ is and what Christ has done for us on the cross. Jesus has come to give us peace. And this righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's what God does to us, and this is a wonderful thing when we enter into this relationship with our Heavenly Father. God receives us to himself through the Son. He takes the righteousness of Christ and places it upon ourselves, makes us right. Isn't that wonderful? I remember when I was in the state of Idaho, and there were cattlemen in Idaho, and there were also sheep herders in Idaho, and we happened to be able to go to a sheep herding ranch, you could call it that, and I'll never forget the illustration that I was able to see with my eyes for the first time. Sometimes there was a lamb that would be born, stillborn, and then there was also maybe a ewe that wouldn't receive her lamb that was born alive. For some reason, she would reject the lamb. But the shepherd would take the dead lamb, and he would skin it. And he would take that skin, and he would put it on the lamb that had been rejected by its mother. And then that mother, it's unbelievable, because then that skin that was placed on this lamb that was rejected would be received by the lamb who was the mother of the dead one. Now you think about that. That's what Christ has done for us, because the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And who made us alive? Who made us right? Who made us just? It was Christ. God the Father places the righteousness of His Son upon us, and He justifies us on the basis of that. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out abundantly on us through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been freely justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you understand that this morning? Do you understand that our relationship has been restored because of what Christ has done for us? It's His righteousness. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's His. We've been justified because of what Christ has done for us in making peace between us and the Father. A wonderful thing as we celebrate this Christmas to realize again that it is all Christ and none of us, because He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is the one who has restored, who has reconciled us to the Heavenly Father. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Grace, God's amazing grace. Do we deserve it? I know I don't. I don't deserve it. It's called grace, God's grace, amazing grace. He loved us first. That's what the Word says. He loved us first. He came down to us. He revealed Himself to us so that we might have life everlasting and the forgiveness of sins. Surely we have a God who is gracious to us, not giving to us what we justly deserve, but rather giving to us what we don't deserve, and that is the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting with Him. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then he goes on to say that, you know, life isn't easy. And you guys have noticed that lately, haven't you? Life is difficult. We go through many trials and tests and tribulations. He goes on to say in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you're here this morning and you're going through some tribulations and tests and trials, and I've discovered as a pastor that Christmas and the holiday season usually brings some tribulation and tests and trials into your life. Have any of you experienced that during this particular season? It's true, because sometimes we mourn the loss of a loved one during this season. It's hard to be joyous when God calls someone home that you dearly love. It's hard to be joyous sometimes in a family that is torn apart and ripped apart by issues. I've seen this over and over again, that sometimes Christmas and New Year's Eve, the vacation can be a miserable experience for many people, and there is no peace. There's no peace. Well, we understand again this morning that the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit will comfort us and help us through these particular times of testing and trials. We read in verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Did you hear that? We're the ungodly, scarcely for a righteous man, yet even for someone who's extremely good, would someone else die for. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that marvelous? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then we get to this part about reconciliation as we look at verse 9. Much more than having been now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, again, He's the one that's reconciled us, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received a reconciliation. Do you understand what I just read? You should. If you, by faith, have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, You should shout hallelujah. We have peace. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that something to get excited about? Oh my. God's done it all for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation. We are at enmity with God, but now we have been reconciled to God through the Son. That's the Christmas message. And that's the message I want to make sure that you understand this morning, because we are saved by faith. Someone said, well, what is faith? Well, faith is defined by believing. Well, what is believing? It's trusting. Well, what is trusting defined by? Faith. You can just go round and around in a circle. But God wants us to understand that He's done it all, and we must receive it, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, but as many as received Him have become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. So it is taking that step of faith and saying, Lord Jesus, I want You to save me. We use a lot of different terminology in our world today when we describe this particular experience. Some say you have invited Jesus into your heart. That's one way we can phrase it. The main thing is that you look to Christ and you call upon Him and ask Him to save you, and He will. Because the Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be. See, He saves us. We come, we respond by faith, but He saves us. If it was up to us to keep ourselves saved, how long do you think we could keep ourselves saved? Not very long. And there are people who are confused about this. And so often they enter into works because they think it's based on what they've done. No, it's based on what Christ has done for us, because He's done it all. Peace with the Heavenly Father. Do you have that peace with the Father this morning? Have you been reconciled to the Father? Are you His child? Do you belong to Him? If you don't, then today's the day to call upon Him and establish peace with the Father. Now, there's another relationship that God has brought down to us through His Son, and that is found, the second one that I have here, we can have peace of mind. Peace of mind. Do you realize there's so much anxiety in the world today? With all of the war and rumors of wars and the hatred that's going on in the world today, we need peace of mind in all of this. Jesus said in John chapter 14, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. My peace, the peace that emanates from Christ, He said, I'll give that to you if you desire peace this holiday season. Oh, how we need it. I grew up in a home, and I've shared this with you many times, that I was one of five, and we were all fairly close, and I can remember at Christmas time, it was really hectic and crazy in our house. I do remember that, especially when it came time to receive gifts and then exchange gifts, and it was always very crazy at moments, and I can remember someone in my family being upset because they didn't get the right gift that they had asked for, and so they started pouting and crying. And I realized, well, that was me. No. I've had my share of disappointment in life, just like all of you have. You know, there isn't a better gift anyone can receive than the gift of salvation. Are you aware of that? And I think we take that for granted. We live in such a materialistic world today. Everybody wants gifts. And I'm not saying giving of gifts and receiving gifts is wrong, because it's a wonderful thing to practice in relationship to one another. It is. But that's not what it's all about. It's all about the gift that God has given you and me through His Son. And the wonderful gift is having peace of mind. I want you to open to Philippians chapter 4, because Paul is writing to a group of believers in Philippians chapter 4. And obviously they were lacking peace, and they were anxious about some things, and I don't really know what they were anxious about, but they were persecuted. We understand that. Paul was in prison while he was writing this small letter to the Philippians. And he wanted them not to be upset about him because of where he was. He also wanted them to have the peace of God and not to be anxious. If you've come here this morning and you're anxious, the definition of the word anxious is to be divided in your mind. Have you ever found yourself doing something and your mind isn't in it? You're distracted? It's called a divided mind. And what God wants to give you and me is a sound mind. Because it says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. Did you hear that? That's from Isaiah. Isaiah is saying, if you want perfect peace, then keep your mind stayed on God. Because we trust in him through it all. Peace of mind. Look at Philippians 4, 6 through 9. And follow along as I read this. Be anxious for nothing. A divided mind. An anxious spirit. Being unsettled in your spirit. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. God says an avenue of gaining peace is by we offer up our prayers to him and call upon him in our time of need. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I hope this morning that you have a mind of peace. If you don't, then I encourage you to call upon the Lord, because he will grant that to you. And the peace that he gives surpasses anything that we can even understand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a Savior we have, that he wants to give us calmness. Do you know that Jesus is presented to us as the Good Shepherd? Do you know that in the Bible? He's the Good Shepherd. Most of you know Psalm 23. And what a calming psalm that is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is Jesus your good shepherd this morning? Is he calming your soul? Because that's what shepherds do. Jesus wants to give you peace, peace of mind, during this Christmas season as we enter into the celebration of our Savior coming down to us. Oh, how we need it, and how we long to have a soul that is in a state of peace. We go on in verses 8, because I think sometimes we should continue. Part of the reason why we don't maybe have the peace, because we're thinking and meditating on the wrong things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. What is meditating? It's allowing it to absorb into your heart and mind. It's to think about it. It's to roll it over and over again and to give attention to it. May God help you and me this morning with all the distractions that are going on in our culture to set our minds and hearts on the Lord Jesus Christ and to think about those things that are praiseworthy. And to realize again that as we do, our spirit will be lifted up. And then he goes on in verse 9 to say this, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Do what Paul did. Do you remember when he was first incarcerated at Philippi? Do you remember what Silas and Paul were doing at midnight? Does anybody remember what they were doing? They were singing. How could they do that? Do you know that music is such a powerful gift to allow us to meditate on the Lord? Because as you sing those songs, those words are impacting your spirit. Have you ever felt your spirit being lifted up as you worship in music? Come on, you can talk to me. Have you ever experienced that as you enter into a song and your spirit is lifted up? As you once again focus on Christ and what he has done for you. I trust this Christmas season that you will have peace of mind and that we'll concentrate on those things that God has given us in His Word. Now, lastly, the last one we have here in the relationships is that we can have peace with our fellow believers. I'd like you to go to Philippians, and that's just before the book of Philippians. Ephesians 2, 14 and 18. Do you know what one of the major problems was in the early church, the biblical church? It was this. You had Jews and you had Gentiles coming together and fellowshipping together. Now you need to understand something here is that the Jews despised the Gentiles. In fact, they thought they were dirty, filthy. They didn't want anything to do with them. Well, the Gentiles thought the Jews were arrogant, haughty, proud. You could say cliquish. And here you had Jews and Gentiles coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And now the church was made up of individuals from both of those particular relationships. And God is going to allow them to come together as one and to worship Christ together. Look at verses 14 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses, and my Bible is falling apart up here. 2 verses 14 through 18. Listen as I read. For He Himself is our peace. He, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You need to understand that Paul had this temple site in mind, and there was this wall that forbid Gentiles to pass through. They had the court of Gentiles that they could enter into, but they could not pass into the wall that separated them from the Jewish people. And so the Gentiles always felt inferior to the Jews in relationship to God. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Isn't it amazing how God has worked in the lives of humanity? As we enter into this verse, He's taking these groups that were in opposition to one another, and He has brought them together in a new man. And that new man is the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ. He's brought them into His body, and we all become new and different in the body of Christ. In verse 17, we read this, and He came and preached peace to those who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. It's an amazing thing when you think about access to the Father, because we all have the same access to the Father through the Son. No one is superior to anyone else. We're all on the same level before God. We come to Him by faith. We come to know Him as our Savior. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done. We all become new in Christ. And we become part of the body of Christ. This morning, as we enter into that, I want you to understand that there's always dissensions in the body of Christ. There's always disunity in the body of Christ. Because we have an enemy who is always trying to stir up the church. Did you know that Satan is the author of division? Did you know that Satan does a lot of work in churches? He sets brother against brother, sister against sister in the fellowship of the church. And this is not what it should be in the body of Christ. Because he wants us as individuals who belong to the body of Christ to work through our differences. And Paul pleads over and over again for unity in the body of Christ. He wants us to work through our differences. Do you realize that not all of you have the same opinion this morning about things? And you know whose opinion is right? Mine. You're wrong and I'm right. You know, it's interesting when you look at how God makes up His body, because He brings people with different gifts. He brings people with different personalities. And then we become one in Christ. And God wants us to work through this. God wants us to work towards unity. Obviously, there are some things we cannot negotiate. And you know what I mean, don't you? There's some cardinal doctrines that we have as believers. But then there's other things that we can kind of let go of sometimes. You know, Paul said in chapter 2 of this particular book in Philippians, not Ephesians, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." You know the verses that come right before that? "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of you esteem others as better than himself or yourself." Isn't that something? God wants us to put others before, not after or below us, because that's what he did for us. The Bible says that he emptied himself and came down to us to show us what humility is and to show us to how we can have relationships in his body. I hope that you have peace here in this church. I believe we do, but there's always stuff that comes up. Are you aware of that? And I hope you have peace in your relationships with your family members. But it's not always true. We realize again that Jesus said in the Gospels, he says that he came for division too. Are you aware of that? Hard to reconcile and understand, and some people think, well, what is Jesus talking about? Here's the truth. Sometimes Jesus separates families. Did you hear that? Did you hear that from Tyler? I can't imagine coming to know Christ and having your family reject you. Can you imagine that? But it's true. It happens. Jesus has come the first time to restore relationships, our relationship with the Father. He's come to give us a peace of mind. We don't have to be anxious. The Bible says, keep our minds focused, stayed on God, and he will grant us perfect peace. He's come to give us peace in our relationships with one another in the body of Christ. But sometimes peace isn't always attainable in our lives, is it? And that's unfortunate. We live in a world that's full of hatred. It's full of anxiety. It's full of everything that wants to destroy people. But God has come to give us peace. Amen? Do you have peace with the Father? Do you have peace with the Father? Do you have peace of mind? Do you have peace with one another? I trust you do. Because Jesus is the author of peace. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Oh, how we need the peace that only God can give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you've come through the Son to give us peace. And Lord, we know you're coming again. And you're going to establish your rule and rule over this earth for 1,000 years, and you will grant peace permanently there. We thank you for that. But now, Father, as we sojourn on this earth, and as we're not always experiencing your peace, I pray that you would grant us your peace this Christmas season. Peace in our families, peace in our hearts, and peace, Father, with you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.